This is Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. 2017 is likely to bring a lot of change in a number of areas, including healthcare. While it's still too early to say what a lot of those changes might be, some are already becoming clear. And to tell us more, we have with us on the phone Emily Baser of California Healthline's Ask Emily column, which runs online and in newspapers across the state. Emily, welcome.
Thanks, Joe.
You've written two recent columns about changes that are coming here in 2017, including some big changes to Medi-Cal, also what the change in healthcare means for undocumented immigrants. Let's start with the Medi-Cal column, your most recent one, and changes to rules regarding the death fee. What is the death fee to start out with? What are we talking about?
Sure, Joe. There is a very controversial program called the Medi-Cal Estate Recovery Program. And what that means is that if you are a Medi-Cal enrollee who is over 55 and you die, the state can go after your estate, essentially, and try to recoup the costs of your care after you were 55. And obviously, this is something that has made people very, very anxious. They're very concerned that, you know, that their heirs are going to have to owe thousands upon thousands of dollars after they die. I can get into more details if you'd like, but it has been a very controversial program over the years, and California has gone after more costs than most other states. It has gone above and beyond the federal minimum, which only a minority of states do.
Now, when it comes to nursing home care, as I understand it in California, Medi-Cal is the provision or the program that runs that, even for people who otherwise wouldn't be Medi-Cal recipients otherwise?
That's right. Medi-Cal pays for most nursing home care because it ends up costing so much and people just don't have the funds for it. So, yeah, that is true.
So what's changing and why?
So there has been a long-fought battle in the legislature over several years to try and change this program and bring California back to what the federal minimum requires. And so that is what is changing, actually. Under the legislature changed the rules for people who die on or after January 1st. So if someone unfortunately passed away in December and was a Medi-Cal enrollee over 55, this does not pertain to him or her. However, if you're over 55 and you have Medi-Cal and you die after January 1st, now the state is very limited in what it can go after your estate for. And the federal minimum basically says that the state can only try to recoup costs that are related to nursing home care and something called home and community-based services. And these are things like adult day health care. There's a pilot program that is testing the use of assisted living as a Medi-Cal benefit. But again, you know, in the past, the state could even go after the managed care fees, the monthly managed care fees that it paid on your behalf to insurance companies, even if you didn't use those services. And now, for most people, it can't do that unless those fees are related to nursing home care.
So in the whole statewide, what type of money was this program and this fee recovery effort generating?
It wasn't as much as you would think, given that the Medi-Cal program is so massive and covers more than 13 million Californians and multi-billion dollar program. In 2015-2016, this program collected about $70 million.
And what is that expected to change with this new program? How much of a percentage change is it? Is it a dramatic one in total, or is it one that's relatively this portion of that?
You know, I asked state officials about that, and they didn't want to speculate on that. There is one question mark, Joe, that I do want to add, and that could affect how much is recouped from enrollees. Under the old rules, Californians who used in-home supportive services, which is where these people are Medi-Cal eligible and qualified for, to get some money to help pay for an in-home caregiver. Under the old rules, the state could not try to make a claim against your estate for IHSS costs. IHSS is the short name for in-home supportive services. But under the new rules, that's a big question mark. The state seems to think that IHSS may be one of these home and community-based services, and advocates strongly disagree with this because this would expose potentially hundreds of thousands of people to new Medi-Cal estate recovery claims, and they are promising that if the state does this, they will take them to court.
Again, we're talking with Emily Baser of California Healthline's Ask Emily column. She writes about probing questions about the healthcare industry that are posed by readers and others throughout the state every month. Her most recent column is about the new rules to limit the Medi-Cal, quote-unquote, death fees, or to limit those. There's also another column that you wrote after the election about the connection between the potential changes to healthcare and the Affordable Care Act and immigrants, specifically undocumented immigrants in the state. On the surface, one might think there's not much that would change there because under the Affordable Care Act, undocumented immigrants are not eligible to receive coverage, at least in the base principle there. What did you find in your talking with people there?
Yeah, actually, Joe, there are a lot of unanswered questions in this area, just as there are about the Affordable Care Act, as you and your listeners know. In California, immigration status and health care coverage are linked very closely. California has taken some steps to provide certain immigrants who otherwise wouldn't be eligible for coverage, to provide them opportunities. So, for instance, in 2016, last year, the children of unauthorized immigrants, so children who were in the country illegally, hadn't previously been eligible for full Medi-Cal benefits, but the state decided to change that and offer them full Medi-Cal benefits, and more than 150,000 of them have signed up. Now, the state could do this only by using completely state money on this, no federal money for this. And so you might think, oh, okay, so this is just state money. Those kids will be able to keep their coverage regardless of what happens in Washington, D.C. We don't know. Really, we just don't know because federal lawmakers are actually talking about significantly changing how they pay for Medicaid programs across the country, such as Medi-Cal. And so if they significantly alter that and funding is reduced, the state may not be able to afford to do that kind of thing anymore.
You also have some undocumented immigrants in California that were able to obtain full-scope Medi-Cal through the PRUCOL program, the Proof of Resident under Color of Law. It's a rather obscure provision, but it's been used extensively here in Fresno County after the county abandoned its prior obligation to provide specialty health care services to undocumented immigrants. The county wound up signing up a lot of people towards that program, and they essentially had to say that they were here in the country, the government knew they were here and they weren't taking active steps to deport them. Could that also be in jeopardy now?
Yes, that. You're talking about the DREAMers, the DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, is that right?
That would be that, and also other undocumented immigrants who are here. Again, there's a number of these different provisions, but just
right.
in general, that's another thing that's also potentially a change here.
Right. You know, I mean, and speaking specifically of the DREAMers, that's what I did a little bit of reporting about. You know, President Obama in 2012, by executive order, created this program that would allow these young people who were brought into the country by their parents illegally, would allow them, like you say, to have work authorization. It defers their deportation for 2 years, and it can be renewed. And for these youth, they were eligible for Medi-Cal as well. They couldn't purchase a plan from Covered California, which is the health insurance exchange, but they became eligible for Medi-Cal. And there are more than 200,000 of these young people who have that status. But again, big unknown here because President-elect Trump has vowed, in fact, to eliminate all of President Obama's executive actions on immigration to actually immediately terminate them. So if he does that, these youth, a lot of them are very concerned not only about their immigration status, but then that also means, what happens to their health coverage. So that's a big unknown. In California, the lawmakers and advocates are talking about, well, if these young people lose their DACA status, does that mean that they're going to lose Medi-Cal? At first, advocates thought so, but now they're saying we just don't know yet. So
another thing there is with this overall talk about changes to healthcare, the changes weren't just on the consumer end; they were also on the provider end. The way hospitals and others got compensated for coverage changed dramatically, especially in areas here in the Central Valley where you had a lot of hospitals serving underserved communities and things. Is there a buzz right now in the healthcare community from what you hear about what type of changes or what the impact of changes might be on this, the way the system now works, which is so different than it was, say, 10 years ago?
Oh, goodness. I mean, that is such a huge question, Joe. I think, and you're talking broadly,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Are people talking about this at this point, or is it just wait
yes.
and see?
People are talking about it, but of course, so much of it depends on what action is taken at the federal level and how, let's say, that Congress does decide to, I don't even want to say repeal Obamacare, because more likely than repealing Obamacare would be that they gut certain pieces of it through the budget process, which is something that they can do more immediately and easily than repealing the whole law. And so questions range from, okay, if they do this and for instance, if they cut the subsidies, the federal subsidies that have been basically allowing people to buy plans through Covered California because they've lowered the cost of premiums, if those subsidies end, what happens to Covered California? What happens, more importantly, to the people who purchase the plans on Covered California? Will they just have to pay out of pocket? So many people just won't be able to afford that. And what's going to happen to health insurance premiums? I mean, there's a lot of buzz about the premiums, skyrocketing. But again, so much of this depends, as I mentioned earlier, even Medi-Cal, here in California, we expanded the Medicaid program, which is Medi-Cal, under Obamacare, and now about a third of Californians are on this program. If what happens to those people who got on the program if that piece of Obamacare is eliminated? There are just so many huge questions because these are paid for by federal dollars, and California probably doesn't have that much to spare to just keep it going. So there's a lot of anxiety and questions, but it depends a lot on what the federal government does.
And we'll be following what happens through Emily's column. Again, we're talking with Emily Baser of California Healthline today. Her monthly Ask Emily column appears in newspapers up and down the state and also online at californiahealthline.org. Again, she joins us today talking about what 2017 might bring in the world of healthcare. Emily, thanks so much.
Thank you, Joe. My pleasure.
This is Valley Edition.